Today's talk, I'd like to say, first of all, before we start, today's talk came from my own search, okay, and my own life. It may be something that will hit some nerves along the way, but hopefully not too bad, just enough to maybe nudge you in the right direction, as it did for me. I looked at my life, and I looked at the fact that there were three of us in our family, children. Out of those three, there's two of us that are still left within the church. One was due to circumstance that he no longer comes. It's not because he's drifted away from God as such. He has drifted away, but it's not of a choice that he made, like because he doesn't want anything to do with God. It's more or less circumstances that happened in his life that took him in that direction. In my family, I have three children. Those three children, there's one that's here today. The rest, they've gone their separate way for whatever reason. We look out in churches around us. We see the churches that used to be full are now empty. We see churches closing down. We see churches where people are walking away. My question started coming to myself, what can we as a church do differently? What can I as a person sitting in this church do differently? Where did I go wrong? Where did I make my deviation away from what I should have been doing? Because years ago, the churches were full. Even in my own family, each of your families, you can look at it and you can say the same thing. But our children, where are they today? Why? What happened? And that's where we're going to go with this sermon today. And again, the things that I'll be talking about are things that went wrong in my life or things that were going on in my life. And so I'm not pointing fingers. I'm just here to say, this is where I need to make changes, and I wanted to share that with you today. And at the same time, I would like to invite the children to make sure they pay attention today, because this is not only for the adults, it's for the children too. So if we can bow our heads before I begin. Our dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you will be with me today. Please help me to be able to present this in a way that people will take it to heart, go home and study for themselves, and learn what it is that you want from them and what you want from each one of us. Lord, turn us back to you and show us the way. In your name, amen. So growing up in my house as a child, every Thursday the house was cleaned, and on Friday, Mom prepared the food that we would eat on the Sabbath. Friday, all of our clothes were laid out, the shoes were shined, and baths taken. And I remember one time when Steve decided he didn't need to shine his shoes right at the same time, because that's back when you used a shoe polish and you shined your shoes. And so he got closer to the Sabbath and he was in shining his shoes, and my dad walked through the door and said, okay, that's it, put it away. The Sabbath is here. And one shoe shined, one shoe not. That's the way he went to church that Sabbath. That's how important it was. To say today, some of us would think that all this is extreme and unnecessary. Friday night at our house was special. Suppers sometimes were with candles. Sundown worship were specials with stories about missionaries and people who had done great things to spread the gospel. As young children, there was no doubt in our mind that on Sabbath, something extraordinary was about to happen. My mother would tuck us into bed, whispering in her ear, tomorrow we're going to see the king. As a small child, sorry, a little bit emotional thinking about Mom. As a small child, we would fall asleep with the promise of meeting the king of the universe. Excitement ran high. I can only compare it today with Christmas Eve and children waiting for Santa. It never got old, because everything on Sabbath connected in a special thought that I was God's child and he was meeting with me, and that someday he would be taking me home to heaven to live with him. How do we approach God today? Are we worried as to how we enter his presence? Do we take the time to prepare ahead to be sure that everything is ready for Sabbath? or is it just like any other day? I know that when I was a child, the meal was prepared ahead of time, and nothing but warming up was done on Sabbath. But as an adult, I usually prepare my Sabbath meal on Friday night or Sabbath morning. That is, until I was prompted to read about this situation. I was reading in my Bible one day when I came across how the Israelites viewed the Sabbath. And in Exodus 16, verse 23, I read, "Then he said to them, 'This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today and boil what you will boil. Lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept unto morning.'" Now, he was talking about the manna, but he was saying, bake what you will bake today and boil what you will boil today. In other words, it hit a nerve. It said to me, "Jane, right now your mom prepared ahead of time. She had everything done ahead of time, but you're waiting till Sabbath when you slow down from work and you slow down from all the things that you want to be doing. And that's when you take my time that belongs to me and you spend it doing the things that I ask you to do beforehand." So it hit a nerve. Is what God required of the Israelites different than what he asks of us? I began to look at other texts that I could find on the Sabbath and reverence for the Sabbath and realized there are many changes that I needed to make. Now, I've already told you about my family and how they prepared for the Sabbath. If this is the case, how did I arrive at the point where I am today? That's what I asked myself. Well, it's easy. First of all, I didn't think God was really all that particular. I lost sight of the God of my childhood, who he was to me, and started thinking of the older generation as extremists and people that were crazy and that they didn't need to be the way they were. I got caught up in work and the desires of my life, and I lost sight of the real purpose of the Sabbath and how great my God really is. This is not about being perfect. It's not about watching others, pointing fingers, or even deciding what is right or wrong. It's simply looking at Jesus and deciding who he is to me, and then letting each one of you decide who you want him to be to you. In Leviticus 19, verse 30, God said, "You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord." What time does Sabbath celebration start at our church? 9:30? If we received a notice today that the Queen of England had invited you to meet at her palace 8 o'clock Monday morning, what would be your response? Would it be early? Would you be there early? Or would you have other things to finish up first? Maybe if you arrived at 8:30, that would work better for you. What about what would happen if you did arrive at 8:30 expecting to see her? Do you think that she would take the time to see you at your convenient time? Absolutely not. You would be more than likely be there plenty of time in advance and have no problem doing it. When Bruce and myself were in England, we went to Buckingham Palace. Hundreds of people had lined up hours of earlier, hanging on to the fence, trying to climb and clamber to a place where they could see, perched up on a stairway that leads up to the statue of a queen of the past. Not to catch a glimpse of the queen, no, not the queen, but only of the changing of the guards. But this was important to all those people. And any of you that have been there or seen, you know that how people line up and they're there. And also I was thinking about Christmas parades and things like this too, but shouldn't we be just as prepared and excited that we have an audience with the King of the universe? How much more important is he? And when we have an audience with him, he expects to see us on time. He doesn't turn us away because we're late, but it must hurt him terribly to see us taking our invitation of him so lightly. We have no trouble being on time for work, to catch a plane, to attend a concert, weddings, etc. The list goes on. Those are important to us, so we better be on time, and we are. But why is it so hard to keep our appointment on Sabbath morning with the King of the universe? What about when we enter the church? How should we behave? In Habakkuk 2, verse 20, it says, "But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before him." And in Education, page 242, we also read, "Another precious grace that should be carefully cherished is reverence. True reverence for God is inspired by a sense of his infinite greatness and a realization of his presence. The hour and place of prayer and services of the public worship, the child should be taught to regard as sacred because God is there." And as a child, we were taught that it was very sacred. I can remember my dad was the pastor, so he'd be up front preaching. My mom played the piano, so she'd be up front playing the piano. They'd sit us on the front pew, the three of us. My brother wasn't even 2 years old. And he would sit there, and myself and my other brother were to watch him. We sat quietly listening. We dare not move or make a sound to distract the service that was going on. My little brother, he would click his feet sometimes, and he had shoes on. So my mom took his shoes off, so he wouldn't do that. But we sat there through the whole service, listening to the service. And on the way home, we'd discuss what we had learned, and we'd talk about it in children's terms, not necessarily the adult service that we had heard, but my mother would break it down so we'd understand it. And we'd talk about how great and wonderful God was. But we sat quietly and listened. When God appeared to Moses in the burning bush, he told him, "Take off your shoes, for the place in which you stand is holy ground. When I go to visit a friend, upon arriving, I take off my boots, I put them neatly in the porch, and I hang up my coat. At church, do you think we should be making sure our things are neatly taken care of?" Moses and Joshua are both asked to take off their shoes in God's presence. This was to show respect for the God that they were worshiping. We should be teaching our children to hang up their coats, put their boots away, and other items neatly out of respect for the place in which they are. And that includes us as adults, too. We should also be taking care of our things and making sure they're arranged neatly in an order so that the place of worship is respectable to the public that comes in. Jesus said that his house is a house of worship, but we act as though the church is a house that is our hangout, a place that we come for our convenience and our enjoyment. I know that I used to come here and I would bring, packed lunch with me. It wasn't for me, it was for the kids. But I felt that, that'll keep them quiet. I had toys, I had things that they could keep quiet with. But then when I was reading, I realized, is that really what I should be doing in God's house? We talk of other things that are of our interest, that's of interest to us, and we bring things that entertain us instead of looking for ways to worship God and prepare our hearts for him to connect with us. When God came to Mount Sinai to meet with the children of Israel, he told them to sanctify themselves and wash their clothes. They were not to touch the mountain or to gaze upon the Lord. That was found in Exodus 19:3-25. You can read about it. There was preparation to be made, and there was reverence to be followed, because, again, this was the King of the universe. Parents, we need to be more aware of what our children are getting from their time at church, because, let me tell you, this is the only time you have. The child is small. They're willing to listen. This is the time you have to form their minds into thinking about God and the willingness to want to do it in the future. If you let this opportunity slip by, it will be too late. And we all know from our own experiences that, for me, I'm talking now, I'll switch it to me, from my own experience, if you could go back and spend more time, like my mother did, explaining, more time sharing stories. I read to my children, don't get me wrong. I did all those things, but I also was caught up in my own life, rushing around to do the things that I needed to do and not being really careful to follow what God wanted from me. And now it's like the children of Israel. I need to suffer that consequence and try to undo the things that I didn't do when I was younger. I am sure we all want our children to enjoy their time here. But if that is all, what is the point? If all they're doing is coming here to enjoy their time and have fun with whatever, the friends, the toys, what's the point? They should be coming to learn. Food and toys and other entertainment should be put away. And let's find a way to get our children to participate and then to be able to take away a blessing of being with Jesus. Jesus said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." He wants them in his presence. He wants them to know him as their best friend. What about the church building? How does God want us to view that? David wanted to build a house for the Lord, a tabernacle. But because he was a man of war, God said that he could not do it. His son would have to build God's house. That shows us that even the church building is sacred and it's dedicated to God. Not anything about it should be taken lightly. But how many times do we do that? Adults, the things that we discuss sometimes is all about us, catching up on the latest news, finding out what's going on with your neighbor. That's good, because we need to make a connection with others. But it is important to have a connection with other members, but is this the place to do it? Ecclesiastes 5, verses 1 and 2, which you heard in your scripture reading, says, "Walk prudently when you go into the house of God, and draw near to hear rather than to give sacrifice of fools." So what does that mean, draw near to hear? Hear who? Are we here to hear ourselves, to hear our friends? Are we here to hear the voice of God? "For they do not know that they do evil. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven and on earth. Therefore, let your words be few." Maybe we should leave spiritual things for the Sabbath and come away with a blessing that God intended his people to have. Does this mean that we have to be silent and not speak? Certainly not. I don't think so. But remember where we are and keep our conversations on spiritual things. Because this is why we come, is to have that uplifting of spiritual connection with God. Maybe during the week, take the time to connect with members or invite others to your house for Sabbath dinner. Well, there will be plenty of time there to visit. And we should be in touch with our other church members to find out how they're doing, how their week's been going. And maybe that is important. Let's take the time to give a call and just see how that's going with them. But when it comes to church and coming into the church, let's remember where we are, because God is here. And again, if we were in the palace of the Queen of England, we wouldn't be talking about casual things. We would be there with everything in us focused on her and what she was saying and what she was trying to get across to us. In 1 Kings 6 and 7, we read that when the temple was being built, stones were finished at the quarry so that no hammer, chisel, or any iron tool was heard at the temple. This was commanded by God so that the house of worship would be reverenced. We have the story of Jesus cleansing the temple, turning over the tables of the money changers, driving them out because they were causing such a commotion. That's not just mentioned once in the Bible. That's in several places, so it must have had great importance. I know that we're not buying or selling or building or doing anything like that, but sometimes our sanctuary becomes a place of commotion and common everyday things take the place of worship. Let's remember that our church belongs to the King. Sometimes you can hardly hear the person who is up front making announcements or leading out and singing because of all the discussion at the back. How does it feel when the person up front is you? And it seems like no one cares what you're saying. How does it feel to God when he's the one trying to speak to us and we can't hear? More importantly, remember, it's God's house and he is here waiting for your attention. How does he feel when we are more interested in everyday things and in showing respect and reverence to him? All too often, we take reverence too lightly. It's almost like the Sabbath is all about us, and it's meant for our entertainment and enjoyment. And we forget that the most important reason why we're here, and that is to come and meet and to gain that Sabbath day's blessing that he promised each one of us. I don't mean for this to be a scolding. After all, remember, I said in the beginning that I'm guilty of all these things, and I'm trying to follow what I think Jesus requires of me. I'm trying to make those changes. I'm going to make mistakes, and I'm going to fall back to the way I used to be. But with his grace, hopefully I can get the message myself. So today's message is a reminder of how sacred and holy the Sabbath is, how precious Jesus is to us, and to remind us that he is the King of the universe. We're so lucky to be able to have the audience with him. And he deserves our greatest respect. He has come to spend time with us, no one else but us. He's come here into this sanctuary to meet and connect with each one of us. Throughout the world, people demonstrate the greatness of their kings and rulers by the way they conduct themselves. Even the flag is given a lot of respect and reverence. The way it's folded, the way it's handled, where it's allowed to touch, the way it's destroyed when you're finished with it, when it's all battered and torn. It's not just thrown in the garbage can. And so how much more should the King of the universe have our respect? Yet from the way that many Christians behave in God's house, it seems that they have a very shallow concept of his greatness. Do you realize that in heaven, the angels worshiping around God's throne cover everything, their faces, their feet, because they do not believe they have the right to be in God's presence, and they're bowed to the ground as they worship him. In Isaiah, you can find this in Isaiah 6, verse 2. Isaiah said he sees God seated in his temple in regal holiness, and the house shakes with the voice of God. Six winged cherubim hover over and around the throne of God, covering their faces and feet and perpetually singing, "Holy, holy, holy." Daniel and the apostle John also fell down like Isaiah when God appeared to them in visions. They revered God in their worship. 2 Chronicles 7, verses 15 to 16 says, "Now my eyes will be opened and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house. We have become so used to church as a social time that we forget it's an appointed time with the King, someone to be respected and to which we should show homage. If we do not make a conscious effort in remembering reverence, Satan is going to do everything he can to chisel away at the foundation of our worship, which is a sense of awe and respect for God and his greatness." Proverbs 28:14 says, "Happy is the man who is always reverent." Isn't that good news? Being reverent isn't supposed to be cast a cloud on your worship experience. It's supposed to enhance the true happiness of your worship experience, because it says, "Happy is the man who is reverent." Jesus wants us to have that special blessing. In Psalms 111, verse 9, he says, "Holy and reverent is his name." He wants us to go away filled with his love, and yet he wants us to remember that he is worthy of worship. I challenge each one of you today that as you leave this house of God, that you will go home and that you will take your Bibles and you will start to look up reverence in the Bible, look up the Sabbath in the Bible, look up God's commands to the children of Israel. Read about the children of Israel and how he dealt with them and how he was when he was on earth. What did he do in the sanctuary? After all, he was God. Jesus was God. But yet when he came to the sanctuary, he came to worship his Father. And he showed that reverence. And let us as a church stop taking things as lightly as we do when we come here. Let us respect the Sabbath for what it is. And let us understand that it is a time of blessing. It is a time for us to come together, yes, to renew our relationship with each other, but more importantly, it's a time for us to renew our relationship with God, the King of the universe. And if we are busy renewing relationships with each other, then he gets left out and he becomes second place. And today, like I said, when I read this myself and I started to study and trying to, I want to go to heaven someday. And I want to have that experience, not on this earth, in this church. I want to have it in heaven like the angels do. And I want to be part of that congregation up there that sings and praises God. And I can picture Celine up there. Heaven will be rocking. Anyway, I want to be part of that. And so therefore, like I said, when I look back at my family, who's here today? I look back at my immediate family, my children, and who's here today. And we ask ourselves, where did we go wrong? It wasn't us that went wrong. It was the fact that as a whole, we did not take the reverence and the respect for the Sabbath that we should have. And that our children came every week, they got used to that routine, but what did they come for? Did they learn about the King of the Universe? Were they anticipating an audience with him? Or were they coming just because it's Saturday, it's our Sabbath? And that's what we got to take away today. We got to question ourselves and say, why are we coming? What is the purpose of our visit to this sanctuary? And what will we take away when we leave? And I pray that we'll each dig deeply into our Bibles to find out and ask God to show you what it is he wants you to get from his Sabbath day. Our Father in heaven, we thank you once again for the opportunity that you have given us to come and meet with you, the King of the Universe, and to spend this Sabbath day with you. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us not to take it lightly. Help us to reflect on how you love us and how you want to be close to us. Help us, Lord, to honor your Sabbath and your house of worship and to draw closer to you than we've ever been before. We know that you are very close at hand and we should be preparing our lives to meet you because it's going to happen very soon. We thank you again, Lord, for taking the time to spend with us. In your precious and holy name, amen.